If you'll please turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5, I'll be reading 1 through 14. That's 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were on the were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel tore his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Everybody talking about attitudes from this story about Naaman. Several attitudes stick out to me throughout these 14 verses. And the most important thing of these attitudes is that having the proper attitude is what is important when we're dealing with God's word. Naaman, he was also, many are rejecting and misunderstanding God's word because their attitude is not right. Too many have an attitude of wanting to please themselves instead of pleasing God. And this account of Naaman the leper will give us an insight into the proper attitude and the importance of a proper attitude. Naaman was the commander-in-chief of the Syrian army, the Syrian king who held a high place in the service of the king, but he had leprosy. Leprosy, of course, we all know is a very horrible disease. It's a slowly progressing, and from the definition I read, an obstinate disease characterized by lumps below the skin, scabs, and white shiny spots appearing to be deeper than the skin. I didn't put a clip art of leprosy. I thought it would be too gross, but if you Google leprosy, you will see some horrific things that can happen to skin, and makes you glad that you live in this day and time. But in those times, if someone had leprosy, it was a very serious manner. There was no cure for leprosy. I'm sure many hucksters and charlatans had cure-all wonder magic water that you can probably spray on for $5 or 5 shekels. But we're going to see that God is the only one with the answer. But it's not the answer Naaman wants. In Naaman's house, there was an Israelite maiden who served Naaman's wife. The Israelite maiden told her mistress that there's a prophet in Samaria that could heal Naaman of leprosy. And when I heard that, when I read that part, I thought about, I wonder how many other people told him about things they've heard. And for some reason, this one stuck out to them. And he decided to follow this lead about the prophet. The Israelite maiden told her mistress that there was a prophet in Samaria. Naaman related this to the king of Syria, and then the king sends Naaman to the king of Israel with a letter. When the king of Israel reads this letter, he thinks this is a kind of a joke, because as we just talked about, leprosy is a basically incurable disease. He thinks he's trying to bait him into a war, basically. He's sending him with shekels of 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. So he's bringing some presents, expecting something to happen when this seems like the impossible, when he's trying to make the impossible happen. So he thinks it's got to be because of war. Well, Elisha now comes into the picture. In 2 Kings 5, 8 through 10, I'm going to read again. It says, "But when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Let him now come to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean.'" And when Naaman, so this is good news, right, for Naaman. He finally reaches Elisha, and a messenger comes to tell him what he needs to do to be saved. But in 5:11, it says he was angry and went away. So he was expecting more, perhaps maybe even some special ceremony. Maybe he expected him to come out with staffs and wave them around and maybe sprinkle water on him. He was expecting more than, and he was expecting Elisha to come out to meet him too. His actual complaint is, "Are there not other rivers of Damascus, and aren't they better than the waters, than all the waters of Israel? Could I not be washed in them and be clean?" So not only was he dissatisfied with the service, but also the product too. He wanted the different waters, the clean waters, not the muddy waters. But so we notice Naaman's response, and we need to notice the response of Naaman's servant was that he says in verse 13, "My father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it?" So basically saying, you know, why refuse something so easy? Even though it's not what you want, why refuse something so easy? So now let's consider some of the different attitudes that we find in this historical account of the leper. The "I thought" attitude. Naaman expected something different than what the prophet had given him. He thought something else would happen. Therefore, he went away angry. He should have just been satisfied with being clean. Is this not the exact sentiment of many of the world today when they are confronted with God's word? A lot of people end up getting angry when they hear God's word for the first time. You know, it's something different from what they've been doing or practicing. So to admit that you're wrong or that you have a problem, some people will become angry at that. Some things they could think is, I thought another answer would be given. Some people might think, oh, maybe there's a different way to have my cake and eat it too. I thought it could have been done another way. Some people think that they can like bargain on how to achieve a certain result when God only gives clear instructions for one result. Let's turn to Isaiah 55, verse 8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I thought this was a good verse to remember that God's thoughts are higher and more elevated than any one of our thoughts. Just because we think something could be better, we do not have the thoughts that are higher like God has. Let's turn to Romans 11 and 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how instructable his ways. For who has known the mand of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Sometimes it's almost laughable to think, how can I give a gift to God? God is the only one who gives gifts. You know, how can I give a gift to God? Or how can I be his counselor? You know, these are almost ridiculous statements, but but sometimes we forget in our own thinking that my attitude or my thinking is the superior thinking. The way I do things is the right way, and we forget who God is and that we have a God. Our thoughts are no comparison to the thoughts of God. The expecting more than what's given attitude. Naaman was expecting some type of special ceremony, expecting something different, and became angry as a result. Many in the church today get mad and leave because they're not getting what they expected. Perhaps they were expecting more. Or it could be that they were not getting what they wanted. Naaman thought that something greater would happen. But what greater event could have occurred than his healing? That which was great was always there, but he overlooked it. Many today are expecting something great out of religion, yet all the while failing to see the greatness that's ever present. Some of the greatness that comes from it is the greatness of the forgiveness of sins, home in heaven, also Christian fellowship. If we are not getting enough out of our religion, then it might be clear that we're not putting enough into it. that complain about what is commanded and would rather do something else attitude. Naaman complained about having to dip in that old dirty Jordan River. He was told exactly what he needed to do to be healed of his horrible disease, and he still complained about it. Can you imagine having leprosy and complaining about the cure? Most would have been willing to do anything to be cured. Today, many are complaining about the Lord's cure for sin. Can you imagine someone complaining about eternal death? Many complain about the requirement of baptism and would rather do something else, like the sprinkling or faith only. I'm going to turn to Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So many people complain that they're maybe this is the reason why there's churches like this now. Some people complain, my church isn't exciting enough, or we don't have rock concerts at our church. They think of all the ways that it can appease them instead of them appeasing God. When God says to join in fellowship with one another, He gives that as a command, and He has higher thinking than we have, higher thoughts. And when we come together, you're not there for yourself, but you're there for others. Those are some ways in which you can have the attitude of, I would rather do something else. Maybe from a personal note, as far as exercise and diet, I know that there's a simple way to go about it. Obviously, it's less calories and more burn up more energy. Well, a lot of times I'll get motivated, and I might write or come up with these huge goals, but the way that I want to achieve those goals is I got ridiculous plans all set up, maybe buying food calculators and stuff like that, which in all, those are good tools to achieve your goal, but I'm looking for something that's far too complicated for something that's so easy. That's like, going to the mechanic and your oil's down, and you say, okay, I need you to use that really cool computer contraption over there and that giant lift crane over there just to check my oil, because this is a special car. This is my baby. This is my car, and you need to make sure you use the best tools possible, when all it requires is just taking the dipstick out and wiping it clean and checking it. In some ways, I compared the dipping into the Jordan seven times the same way. He wanted some grand event to happen. I'm a warrior. Look at me. I should get this special ceremony. And really, he was just lucky to be saved of his leprosy. The caring friend attitude. This part's my favorite, because it's the good one. Naaman's servant points out to him how ridiculous his attitude was. Naaman's servants ask, if the prophet would have told you something great to do, wouldn't you have done it? The servant says, why reject something so easy? Naaman was lucky to have such a good friend. And the world today needs to have more good friends who will try to show others the error of their ways. Many times we get caught up in a situation and we can't see it clearly. And that's what that other friend is there for. Let me read 5:19 through 20 again. Or 19:20. I'm sorry. 14. So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. He did it according to the word of man of God, but he also did it because he had a little helpful nudge from his friend. His friend could clearly see, listen, you have leprosy. The bigger issue here is that you have leprosy, and your goal is to be clean. And, you know, it's not to have a great ceremony where you get to dip into the finest rivers. But if it tells you to go dip into the Jordan, then go ahead and do it. Let me turn to Psalm 142:4. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. See, then this is kind of the opposite of what Naaman had. You know, you could be, you put it in that situation where you don't have friends near you to tell you the right thing to do. And that's why having the caring friend attitude is so important. The obedient attitude. When Naaman finally realizes how foolish he was, he obeyed Elisha's commands. We need to put away our pride and big heads and obey God. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. This is 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and presumption is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you from being king." See, many are going through the emotions, but not really obeying God. Let's turn to Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" So, you know, we call on God in prayer, we call on Jesus, but do we do what he tells us to do? James, I'm going to turn to James 2:17. "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So it looked like Naaman had this belief or hope or faith that Elisha could heal him, but it was on his part. He had to act. He had to do the actual act of washing himself and dipping in seven times, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven times into Jordan. And we have to do the same. We have to cleanse ourselves of our sins. If if sin showed up like leprosy, how would we look? Would we have nice fair skin like a young child's, or would we look so beat up that no one would even want to look at us? So these are some attitudes to think about, and we have some wrong attitudes to have, and we have the right attitude to have, of acting on our faith and being that caring friend. So if there's anybody here who needs to wash their sins away and be cleansed, or if there's anybody who here needs the help of the church, please come as we